Good morning. I want to just say thank you to all of you who participated in supporting all of the pastors and leaders that came into the church at the beginning of the week. We had several guys here. We had 100 plus, or maybe about 80 some guys that were here. And then several of you put together the tables, the food, the snacks, and things like that. Marge did a great job. She took a break. She went off with Dan and is enjoying a little time off, some R&R. And I just appreciate her so much because she makes it all happen behind the scenes while we get to take care of it in here. But the support of the church strengthens other churches and leaders, so we're thankful for that. And they're from five different states, I believe, four or five different states all around Pennsylvania here. There's Maryland that's here, even New York, if you can believe that, Rochester area, and some in West Virginia and Ohio. So we're thankful for all of those guys that come in. And then we have Greg Strand come in from Minneapolis. So if you get a chance, he spoke on the Holy Spirit. Take a listen to Stay Sharp 2018. Also need to thank you for praying for the Lane family and the Wheeler family, I believe is Stephen's mom's name, Terry Wheeler, for her passing. Also for praying for the Stanko family. Tom Stanko passed away. He was a professor up at Edinburgh, and he died at 87. And then for praying and taking care of the Emmett family, he passed away at 31 years of age, as you can imagine. He was a victim of a homicide, so we just want to continue to pray for them. Their family's still around, but it's going to get quiet at that house, and we just ask you to please pray for Dan and Joan Emmett, if you can remember that in your prayers. The love of the body of Christ was so magnificent for them. There were so many people that came to see them, and so we're thankful for all of you that were able to do that. Continue to pray for them. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. As we come to you now, we think about our faith in the Son of God. We know that the body of Christ is powerful in its testimony of love. It's in loving each other in this way that we manifest who you are. That's how the world sees you. Through the testimony of the Word, the Spirit, and the Word, enlivened and embodied in the incarnation of Christ in the believers, that we love you because you loved us first, and that we love others. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you for those families, and just pray for each one that they would have the comfort of their faith and that you would help them through Christ who gives them strength. And they would let nothing move them from that hope that they have in eternal life. We thank you, God, for the body and all the work that has been done in Christ's name to glorify you. May it glorify you and may it bring blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue on in our flight, some of you may be joining us at different times. We've been going through the book of John, and we'll end up 1 John, if you would. You're going to be joining our flight today, maybe. And if you've ever gotten on a plane, the first thing they do is welcome all of you that are joining our flight. And the other people have still been on the plane for a while, right? And so some of us have maybe getting hot and waiting for the other people to get on, and they're kind of maybe knocking you around by hitting you in the head with their luggage or whatever. That's kind of like where you're at right now, because John just keeps talking about the same three things almost. He keeps talking about love. He keeps talking about obedience. He talks about God's love and how we can know that God loves us. And today, as we end the journey, this is the last leg of the flight. Our series is titled Walking in the Light, but our sermon today is Faith in Jesus Christ. And the key verse that I want you to take a look at, just while you have your Bibles open there, in verse 13, he says, I write these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Last week, we spoke of this same thing, that John just keeps going up the spiral staircase, and if you're ever going up a spiral staircase, you kind of keep looking at some of the same things, but you get higher. Some of my friends don't like the word higher because that has Gnosticism tied to that you can get into a higher knowledge of God, that there's a way of moving up the ladder, so to speak, spiritually. Or you can go down the ladder getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's what John's doing. He's getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the knowledge of God, the knowledge of eternal life, and making sure that you know. He says, by these things you can know. I write these things so that you can know that you have eternal life, that you have the Son of God. You believe in the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life. And when I was at these funerals, the one thing that everybody wants to hear about is that you know that you know that you know. Amen? That's when the rubber hits the road. Amen? And so last week we talked about three things. We talked about discernment, we talked about assurance, and we talked about confidence. Discernment, that we're supposed to not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, to discern if something is of the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. Secondly, we're supposed to look at, see whether it's right or wrong or good or evil. That secondly, we're to know that 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. We are from God. Those few verses there is talking about discernment in 4-6. Then we move to assurance. They are from the world. They use worldly teaching to draw them. The message is popular. The world listens to them. But how can we know if we are of God? Well, if we've been given his spirit, whoever loves God can have assurance. Whoever loves is born of God, he says in verses 7 through 8 in chapter 4, believes God sent his one and only son. That's the pattern. Not just that God sent his one and only son, but that God died for us, that Jesus died on the cross. He came in the flesh and that he gave up his life. And as he laid down his life, we are inclined to lay down our life for the body of Christ, and that you've received his Holy Spirit. That's the pattern that God wants us to have assurance about. And then it's confidence, that as we stay rooted in the soil of God's love, we grow in confidence in verse 16, and it says that we grow in trust in the ESV, that we learn over time and to believe the love that God has for us, growing to trust God's love, like in a marriage. Now, I want to hit on that again, because I want to come back to that. When we got married, for those of us that took the vows, we said, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Did you realize what that meant completely? Today, my wife, she came down and she put this, I came downstairs after I got dressed and she had this big sandbag over her head that she heats up. It keeps her warm. It makes her feel better. And I looked at her and I said, hey, it's 8:00. What are you doing? And she goes, I'm feeling puny. And so in sickness and in health, right? Well, used to really bum me out because I needed her. I wanted her to sit up here with me because I felt better when she was here than I do when she's not here, right? And when we go places, we feel better. And wives, we're big babies. We want you right there, wherever we're going. And my wife will go to the doctor, and it's no big deal. She'll get a shot, and she'll say, Jack, you can go. You know, it's no big deal. You're just going to get a shot. I'm like, it's no big deal to you. It's a great big deal to me. She goes, oh, you men are babies. It's sickness and in health. Now, you learn that over time. You don't just automatically hit the burners there and hit the jettisons and just feel good all the time. But you learn that over time to grow and trust and rely upon one another's love for each other through those moments in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. So we grow in that love, and that's what John was saying at the end there. He said, God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And then verse 16, I'm still in chapter 4, so I haven't even gotten to my sermon yet. God is love. Verse 16 says, I grow in trust and belief in God's love. I come to know it. He learns it over time. He's come to trust in it, believe in it. And trust me, people have to get there. I mean, for the Emmett family, for the Wheelers, for the Stankos, we all have to, when we go through those times, we have to, you don't come to that on day one. You come to that. You learn that. You grow in that, in the soil of God's love. So we have a growing trust and belief in God's love, just like we grow and rely on the love of our wife, our spouse, our families, dad and moms. You grow in love. Think about it, kids. When you move out, you remember when you moved out? They want me to move on. I'm not moving on yet. But the thing is that that when you move out, you all of a sudden you complain what your mom made when she'd make something you didn't like, but then you move out and you figure out that all of a sudden you've got to cook the food. Nobody's going to cook it for you. You learn that, right? Over time. And then you go back to your dad and mom's house after a while, and then you say, oh, this meal is so good, Mom. I love you. I love you, Mom. We learn that, right? And that's the way it can be when we're in God's house, that we can become accustomed to living in the house. And the food's cooked, the meal's warm, and we'll still complain. Hopefully not. This leads us to today's flight. We're on the final leg of the journey. And so we're going to talk about what the faith and Son of God looks like. I got three things for you. A Christian is rooted in Christ's love. That's rooted in God's soil of love. I like that frame. I like the picture there. A Christian believes in Jesus Christ. A Christian enjoys five certainties that faith furnishes. The first, number one, a Christian is rooted in God's love, and he learns to believe and belong. He is believing and belonging. Look what it says in 1 John 5 there. He says, everyone who believes, or the word could be believing. Everyone who is believing that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, whoever loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we not only, the family love is natural. This is the picture of what love looks like in a family. Just as a child naturally loves the parents, they will also love their brothers and sisters. At least you hope, right? I mean, you want them to love each other. And those three, you know, that belong to me, when I hear a war break out, I don't go up anymore. It's not safe. Because when I go up, they're up there fighting, and it hurts me, it bothers me. Imagine what the father feels when we're not getting along, his children don't get along. And I go up there, and I usually everybody ends up crying when I go up there because I start yelling because I don't know how to fix it. Somebody wore somebody's shirt. I could care less. Just give it back to them. Drives me crazy. And they're fine one day, and they're not fine the next. One day, they're allowed to wear the boots. The other day, no. What do you have them on? I will take you out. I mean, they threaten each other with harm, bodily harm. And it's just amazing. Now, the Father says here, everyone who was believing that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we're supposed to love each other. But it's like a bunch of people that we don't know people that well. So what? It's not a natural love. It's not like your family. You're kind of born into your family and you grow up in it. And you get used to each other. But when you're in a church, it's like a bunch of chocolates, I say, you know, right? Some of us are hard. We have sharp elbows. Some of us are soft in the middle. Some of us are a bunch of nuts with chocolate covered over them. And that's what God does. He puts us all together in the same box. And he says, that's the church. Alistair Begg says, it's like building a building with bananas. That, you know, they don't sit straight. They kind of have to mush up against each other. And we have to learn what that feels like, right? And we have to learn, just as a child learns. As a Christian, we are believing and belonging to the family of God. Not only are we believing in Jesus Christ, God, that he changes us. He takes us in, he brings us into his family, and he makes us different. There's a supernatural love here. It's not just about being attracted to one another and hanging out with people you're attracted to, but some people that have sharp elbows, you have to learn to love them too, right? And you're trying to love me, and I'm trying to love you. Amen. So, believing and belonging. The third point is verse 2, obeying. So, we're believing, we're belonging, we're obeying. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Well, what is it saying there? Because of that expression of love, when we just say we love God, we get, you know what, if you truly love God, his commandments are not going to be burdensome to you. Look what he says in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That's a sign that you're coming to know God. You're growing to know God and loving him even more. That they're no longer a burden. You know, when my wife, as soon as I saw her with that sandbag on her head, it's not a sandbag, what is it called? A rice bag, right? Don't tell her I said these things.
You won't tell her, will you, Hannah? She probably already texted her. But I go and I take the bag. I take the bag to the microwave and I have to heat it up for 2 minutes. And it smells like, you wouldn't believe, cooked rice. And then she's going to stick it on her head. And they all three do it. They all three do it. And they, but I know that's what she's wanting. So she asked me, she goes, can you go warm this up? I said, yes, I'll take it in and I'll warm it up for you. Because they're not a burden to me anymore. Sometimes. That's the way it is, isn't it? We're in this tube flying together, and you've joined the flight. And we're all going together. We're going to take off. And the commandments are not burdensome. So we've got believing, belonging, obeying. So that we know the love of children of, so we know that we love the children of God when we love God as we obey his commandments. It's not easy to love other people who are not like us or hurt our feelings or trample on our toes. They do things differently, nor is it natural. It's God's love that's coming out through the body. It's in us. It's, I like to say, if it's in you, it's going to come out of you. You're going to ooze the love of God. You're going to drip it out. You're going to say it and you're going to spray it. I can't think of anything else, so you have to go with that. But by believing in Jesus, we belong to the family of God. We're obeying God's commandments, and we have the benefit of overcoming. So we're believing, we're belonging, we're obeying. And then I thought of a fourth one. It's not on the slide, so don't move it. But overcoming the world. By doing these things, we are overcoming the world, the gravity of sin that holds us to the ground. We're ready to take off. It's only in Christ can that plane take off. It's only in Christ shall I be able to live the Christian life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, can I break free from the gravity of sin and Satan and sadness. It's that takeoff. If you ever sit there in a plane, they tell you to buckle up, buttercup, and then they give you all the details of what you need to do. And they don't hardly do much with that buckle. But anyways, they kind of explain to you, you need to be prepared to fly. And that's what he's talking about here. You've joined the flight. And you're a child of God. And here's how you know that. A Christian is rooted in the soil of God's love. And this is what it looks like. It's not perfect, but it is God's building. Soon to be realized in heaven in its glorified state when Jesus returns. So, we're believing and belonging. We're able to discern the spirits. We're obeying. We're overcoming. Let's move on to our fourth verse here. In 1 John 5, he says something. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcoming the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So for those of us that need help, John has helped us. What do we know? How do we know we've come to believe Jesus Christ? By these things, he says, but also by the testimony of Christ. Look at verse 6. This is the one who came by water. He's talking about Jesus, the Son of God. This is the one who came by the water, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given us an account of his Son. He has given us about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son has this testimony in his heart. And so we're looking here at these things that testify to us even today. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And it probably points to two events specifically in Jesus' life, the water and the blood. Water being what, class? Is baptism, right? That's when God descended down, the Holy Spirit descended down and came upon Jesus. And what did God say? That's my boy. That's my son. And he said it loudly, enough for us to hear, right? And that's the testimony of God. And that he was born by the Spirit. The Spirit was there in the very beginning, in the beginning, when the earth was formed and it was void of form. He spoke it into existence, a ruach. The Spirit was there. And in John 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Is God. And he came to us and became alive. Jesus was born, incarnated as the truth. And the Spirit is there always regenerating people, isn't he? He continues to make people alive. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. You can go look that up. In Ephesians 2, it says we were dead in our trespasses. What makes us alive to be able to hear him? The Spirit. The Spirit continues to do that today. The Spirit is continuing to regenerate people. He is the good deposit that God gives us, is the seal and is the sign of our being born again. The other way is that these symbols are still here today. These are the witnesses of God. This is the baptism that we lay back in the water, that we die, that we're washed, and that we're raised to the newness of life. That's water baptism. What does it testify to? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. What does the blood testify to? His death on the cross. Those are the three things that the cross, we still declare it today. Where do we declare it today? In the ordinance of communion, right? We take communion, Holy Communion. So the Spirit, the water, and the blood, they are still constantly testifying about Jesus Christ. And he says, if you don't believe me, then you are a liar. That's what he says. He says, he basically, my friend Scott Burns, he's like 6'5". He came to the pastor's conference. He's 6'5". It's like Bill back there standing right now. That's about how high Scott Burns is when he normally walks around. He goes, how's the view up? I said, now I understand how the view is up there. He says, you know what I think of when I think of this passage? He says, what God is doing is putting his knee up on it. He's putting his foot up on the stool. And he says, this is my son. I've told you these things. This is my son. And he's looking at you, kneeling down, looking at you and saying, there isn't going to be any more. I've given you all you need. I've given you the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Another way to look at the water is that the water of the Word. Okay? So the Spirit in combination with the Word and the means of grace that we see in water baptism as well as in the blood. That's what he's saying there. So that a Christian is rooted in the soil of God's love, believing, belonging, obeying, overcoming the world. And they are overcoming the world because of Jesus Christ. A Christian believes in Jesus Christ. We're going to move on since I took a little bit too long with that. There are five certainties that a Christian enjoys. And these are all in your book where it says that we may know. That we may know. That we may know. It keeps saying it. Number one is an assurance of eternal life. What did he say in verse 13? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. One of my favorite verses in this passage is actually verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the testimony that God has given us. It's a powerful statement. That's a certainty that faith furnishes us, that we have eternal life, that we have the hope in this life and the life to come, that we are going to take off if you're in the plane. Answered prayer. We have confidence that God hears our prayers. Look at verse 14. And this confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The assurance of prayer, the certainty of it, that he hears us if we ask anything according to his will. What does that mean? Well, if you're asking things that are against his will, he's not going to listen to you. He's going to sit there and wait on you to come to his understanding. And the way that we come to that understanding is through the illumination of the scriptures. We have to read our Bible. Do we know this stuff right off the bat? No, we come to learn it. Have you ever really prayed hard about something or someone? You come to learn what God's will is because you keep searching the scriptures for that verse or for that explanation of what you're trying to seek out. Sometimes it comes through suffering and trials
And that's how God tempers us and sharpens us and also sands off the rough edges. We come to learn that, to trust in God's love, trust in his will. So anyways, answered prayer, assurance of eternal life. This is the confidence that we have towards him. Look at verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If we're praying his will. Now, verse 16 talks about something interesting. He says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. So we have victory over sin and Satan. We can through intercessory prayer. If someone's sinning, we can pray for them. If it's a sin that doesn't lead to death. Now, what's a sin that leads to death? I mean, talking about permanent death here. I'm talking about cut off from God. That sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's the unforgivable, the only unpardonable sin there is. But there's other sins where we're told that in the communion table, we're told not to, we're told to recognize the body of Christ and that we should examine ourselves, that we shouldn't take that flippantly. That's why some of you are sick, it says. That's why some of you are falling asleep, it says. Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, when they lied to God, God, boom, judged them immediately. Ananias dropped dead. Now, if the sin isn't leading to death, we can pray for them. We can intercede on their behalf. And we should always continually intercede. Number four, that we are born of God. Look at verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We are born of God. God has overcome the world. Verse 19, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we know that we have been sealed, right, for the day of redemption. And that we have hope, that we have an answer, that we can pray for forgiveness of our sins. We can cleanse our consciousness. We don't have to carry that guilt around because Jesus, who died for us, sits at the right hand of the Father, and we have an intercessory prayer partner in Jesus. He is for us. He is not against us. And fifthly, we know the Son, who is truly the Son of God. We know that he is truly the Son of God and that we don't worship idols. We don't trust in anything else to get the plane off the ground to get to our destination, which is heaven. Amen? Those are the five things that we benefit from and that we can assure ourselves. I want to read a short piece of this. I read this at the funeral because I think it's telling of what we have in God as a Christian. That a Christian is rooted in the soil of God's love, that a Christian believes in Jesus Christ, and a Christian enjoys these certainties for hope in this life and in the life to come. Here's what God hath not promised. It's written by Annie Johnson Flint. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all over our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptations, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labors and light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God hath not promised roads and wide, smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide, never a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. Christian, stay rooted in the soil of God's love. Christian, continue believing in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Christian, trust in the certainties of your faith so that you may have hope in this life and in the life to come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Assure our hearts today. We thank you for the blessing of your word and how the Spirit illuminates and inspires us and continues to give us gifts so that we may grace others for the help of the body. Lord, may you help us to come to trust in this faith. Help us come to learn what John is saying, that we come to learn and trust that, God, you truly love us. May our friends know that when they see it in us, that because you love us, we are able to love you and love others, and that we work for the salvation of others, that we try to reach out and impact the world with the good news of the gospel so that they may know they have eternal life, so that they may know the Son. If they know the Son, friend, they have life. They have eternal life because of Christ Jesus. And that's the hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.